June 15th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we will study from Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. In order to understand the background of the psalm, we will first read from 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 2. And the king said to Ziba, "What do you mean to do with these?" So Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young man to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." David experienced both good and bad events in his life, and this is a bad one, because his own son, Absalom, claimed himself to be the king of the nation without David knowing it. David ran from his own palace and came to the wilderness of Judah. If we see this as a model for what's coming in this era, I believe Absalom represents Antichrist in our time. The name Absalom means Ab is the father and Salom is peace, like Shalom. But it depends which father they serve. Solomon was serving the Father in heaven, but this one was serving Satan, it seems. As you know, David represents Christ, and Christ now rules our church as a king. But there is a day that Christ will be expelled from the church by Antichrist, as prophesied in the Revelation. So how I understand is that in the end time, Antichrist will emerge and will take over the throne and try to replace Christ with Antichrist. And also in the book of Daniel, he talks about people standing in the holy place, which no one should be standing on. I think this also refers to Antichrist coming to stand in the holy place where it was once occupied by Christ. Jesus was crucified outside of the city, which is also a metaphor of Egypt. In the Revelation, the Lord says to the church of Laodicea that he is standing outside of the church knocking on the door. David, who is a foreshadow of coming Christ, was also persecuted by his own child, for he was taken over, his throne was taken over, and David left everything behind to escape. O God, you're my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Dry and thirsty land is the land of wilderness, and it does happen to us, and it will happen to the church too. And what would be the right thing to do when we find ourselves in the wilderness? Do like David did, and seek the Lord. In the book of Revelation, it says that Euphrates River dried up because they prepared the way for the kings to come. Water in the river represents Holy Spirit, and the Euphrates is the river that divides Christians and non-Christians. And the river of the Spirit is dried up. So when the Spirit is dried up in the church, what are we to do? The answer is simple. Whether it is a tribulation era, or the end time, or it happens now, it doesn't matter. We will not sit there and say, well, there's nothing to do because this is all part of the prediction and prophecies. Even if the Spirit stops moving in the church, would you stop coming to the church? Would you be able to live without drinking water? When Christians feel thirsty, we just have to pray to fill us with the Spirit again. And if you're lazy and don't take time to pray, you will thirst. So you make a time to sleep, and you make a time to eat breakfast and go out, but if you don't make time to pray, you will thirst. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a new believer. I remember hearing a testimony of a new Christian at the last church I was with. He said he always had a spiritual thirst that he could not quench. He was walking down the street one day and he could not stand anymore. And he walked into a church he saw on the street and he asked the pastor if he could use the sanctuary to pray. So he did pray and he was finally satisfied. And when I heard that testimony, I truly understand what he was talking about. And I have never walked into a church. I have never walked into a church that I don't know so that I could pray, but only to the church that I know. But it is a good thing, I guess. The only way that you can be filled is through prayer. It does not matter if you pray in the morning or evening. Well, some people say that it has to be early morning. Maybe because I like to sleep in late. I might be saying this, but I think when you pray, it doesn't really matter. Before I served the Lord, I got a habit of praying at night for an hour in a dark kitchen. I remember my cousin came to my house and found me in the dark kitchen and asked me what I was doing. And I think it is so important to incorporate prayer in your daily life, because if you don't drink water every day, you get thirsty. I think praying around the same time every day is important, but this is just my opinion since this is a matter of one's faith. And if you don't pray, you won't be able to serve the Lord. From verse 2 to 5. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Marrow and fatness can also represent oil of Holy Spirit. Verse 6 to 8. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand uphold me. As you read, when Absalom chased David, David left barefoot. But David held onto the Lord, and the Lord upheld him with his right hand. So when we go through some difficulties, we also have to do the same by clinging onto him. For he will always bring us out of the situation, and he will uphold you. I thought about it when I went for a walk and then saw an old lady who had difficulty walking, but her husband was stronger. So she was holding on to him. And she was able to walk without falling. So if you hold on to the Lord, you will not fall either. Also, even when we don't know that we are falling, God is still upholding us. I personally made many mistakes in my walk, and I went to many different places trying to find the Lord. And even when I was in the wrong place, and I didn't even know it, the Lord still upheld me. I used to go to a church which was affiliated with the Brethren group. They don't believe in having a pastor leading the church, and they criticized the other denominations. And what they were saying was all logical and seemed to be biblical, but did not see any blessings in their belief. And I felt suffocated, and I did not see the works of the Holy Spirit either. So I used to be very close to the leader of the church, but eventually I could not get along with him anymore. And around the same time, my wife met someone who goes to another church, and I ended up moving there to serve the Lord there. And after I moved to the church, new church, I started feeling like I wanted to serve the Lord. And I don't mean to criticize people who go to the Brethren Group church, but I feel like God was upholding me so that I will not go any further in this belief when I was there. Sometimes you're where you are because of your own mistakes and you don't even know it. But even in that deception, I was still praying God, and eventually With his faithfulness, he led me out of that place. Verse 9 and 10. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be portion for jackals. This actually came to pass to Absalom. He came to look for David, but Absalom's head got caught in the tree branches and was hanged on a tree, then killed by spears. Jeremiah was also persecuted by many people and the kings, but he always prevailed. Same as David, Absalom's kingship did not last, and David returned soon after. So when we face persecution during the tribulation, this is the final outcome of our difficulties. And the passage says that the place where those people would go is the lower parts of the earth, which is Gehenna, or hell. And that's an eternal place, not only for 3.5 years, but it's eternal condemnation. Verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. It says, everyone who swears by him shall glory. I know there's a passage in the New Testament that we should not swear by God, but when Jacob tithed, he swore by God to give 1/10 of his possession as long as he lived. That's how he was saved and blessed. And just like him, if we swear by God and if we are faithful like Jacob, we will be able to see his grace and blessings. For me too, I always tithed when I was working. And I didn't earn much, but I tithed and I never lost a place to live, nor I had to borrow money. So I know that I was protected. So if we swear by God, by the king, and not by people, and keep our end of the promise, he will always honor us.